My two oldest boys, my oldest is an Ernst Israel. My number two is still here, trying to figure out, you know, where to go for the year. You know, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, but at the same time, he has a great relationship with his Rebbe, and really, if he goes to Eretz Yisrael, the learning is going to be different, and he's going to learn how to learn more if he stays. So he's going to stay a little longer. So my number two, Baruch Hashem, is still home occasionally from Shabbos, but number one and number three are in Eretz Yisrael, so I don't get to see them so much. So my number two is home for Shabbos, off Shabbos from Yeshiva. I took advantage of him, because I was learning the Parsha, and I got to a Rashi that I didn't understand. So let me explain what happened. So the Pesukim say, this is in last week's parasha, so I apologize. I want to share this with you. I think it's very interesting. Egel happens. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. So this is Perek Lamed Dalet. Sol lecha shnei luchos avanim karishanim. We're doing this again. New luchos, yeah?
Yeah?
Now, what's interesting about it is that it's not a new Har Sinai. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. Everything is still at Har Sinai. Har Sinai is still there. But they made the Egel. And Klal Yisrael still at Har Sinai. Yeah, you with me? Still at Har Sinai. Yeah. But the Aseres HaDvarim, Hashem speaking, happened a while ago. 40 days ago is the Egel, and then there's the whole time period of the Egel. It's not until Rosh Chodesh Elul that Moshe Rabbeinu goes back for the second time to go get the Luchos. So if you remember my piece of paper, we're folding back time. Remember this? We're folding back time. So now we're going back to the day after Shavuos, but it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, a long time later, because of the Egel and all the Tshuva that happened in the between. This time, Hashem says things a little differently in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu's going up to Har Sinai. Well, what's different this time? So the pasuk says, "V'ish lo ya'ale imach." Nobody else is allowed to come up with you. I mean, that was the same as last time. No, what's Hashem saying? What's the chiddush? No. Because last time there was Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, the Shivim Zakenim. They didn't go all the way up with Moshe, but they were at different parts of the mountain, different levels. They were there. They weren't in the camp. Remember what happens with Yahushua? He hears the sound that they're making the Egel, and what does he think it is? Do you remember? He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a war! I mean, if he had been in the camp, he'd know there isn't a war. I mean, he was on the mountain waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. So, v'ish lo yaleinu, not this time. This time, nobody else. That's number one. Number two, v'gam ish al yeirah b'chol hahar. I don't want to see anybody near the mountain. Meaning, it used to be close. It's a proximity. Then it gets crazier. Gam hatsoin v'habakar. Animals! Al yiru el mulahar hahu. No grazing. Not only no grazing on the mountain. No grazing anywhere near the mountain. It's like strange. That was like crazy. But what the idea is very clear, right? Hashem is saying, this time, nobody, not even an animal, anywhere near the mountain. You're here? What do you think that's about? You have a sense of this? Why? Like, what's the problem? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get the Luchos. So the Ramban, he was bothered by this. And he says, I should say the Chizkuni. Chizkuni is not in this particular Mikros Gedolos. But the Chizkuni writes, it was because of the sin. Yeah, they weren't on the level anymore. It's like it's a very negative. The Ramban doesn't say it quite like that. He doesn't say it's like a negative, oh, they're being punished. The Ramban says that this is a new level. This is a higher level. And in fact, what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down this time? He's not a rabbit. He's got his horns. He doesn't have horns. He has light shining. Karan Urpanov. That's the guy who made this mistake. They think he has horns because he uses the word of like karneho, like horns. But it means like rays. Rays of light were shining from him. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? So this was a very high level. This relationship, this new connection between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what the Ramban says. So far, so good. So we have like two levels, yeah? We have the Chizkuni, I was like, they weren't on a level anymore because like a sin. And you have the Ramban, it doesn't say it's a sin, he just says it was a higher level. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything negative against Klal Yisrael necessarily, but they were on a higher level. So far, so good. Everybody's pushed aside. You ready for Rashi? You know what Rashi says? You know this Rashi? This is where I struggled. So Rashi writes, Harishonos, the first luchos, al yedei, through the hand of, right? Because shahayu b'tishuos v'kolos, it was with all kind of fanfare, noises, pomp and circumstance. Da, 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 da. Because of all of the publicity.
Yeah.
It was like a big show, right? It was all the publicity. Vikahalus, and with a great congregation around the mountain. Ready for this? Shalta bahen. What's shlita? What's lishlot bahen?
Shlita, like live forever?
To control, right? It's not shlita, like after a name, like after, you know, Rebbe shlita. What I mean, like to be sholet in something is to control something, to have a hand in it, yeah? So shalta bahen, there was the hand in them, controlled them. Ready for this? Ayin ra'a.
Bad eyes.
Ayin hara. Ayin ra'a. Because it was done with such publicity, there was an ayin hara had a power over it. Ein lecha yafa min hatsnius. There's nothing greater than snius.
Modesty.
So why does it matter if the animals can't be there?
Yeah, so what do you think Rashi is saying? I'm going to make it worse for you in a minute. We're going to make it worse first or not yet?
No,
we're going to
make it worse.
Worse first? Okay, worse first, and then we'll try to... The Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye is a Perush Tachomish. Rabbeinu Bechaye was a Talmud of the Rashba. The Rashba is a Talmud of the Ramban. So it's interesting. The Ramban did not mention this at all. And he was like the Rebbe of Rabbeinu Bechaye. He comes from that yeshiva, that school. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says, he's really just quoting a medrash. He says like this. V'ish lo ya'aleimach. Nobody else is allowed to be there. Mikan darshu razal. From here, chazal darshind. Sheluchos shinios. The second set of luchos. Nitnu bitsina. We're given with modesty, privately, however you want to translate that exactly. But bitsina. Masha'ein came with Luchos Rishonos, which is not the case in the first Luchos. So it sounds the same as Rashi so far, right? Identical to Rashi. Shenitnu b'farhesia. They were given in public. Ready? He says, Lahodi acha. This is to teach you, kama gadol ayin hara. Rashi had like the opposite of it. Rashi says how great Sneas is. How important Sneas is. The Rabbeinu Bechaye takes like the opposite. He says how great, meaning how dangerous, how significant ayin hara is. You hear what he did? The opposite. Instead of saying how important Sneas is, he takes the flip side. This is to teach you how significant Ayin Hara is. Af bedavar shahaneis chalolav. Even in something miraculous, the luchos, the first luchos were miraculous. What is he talking about? Give me an example. How were the first luchos miraculous?
Both sides, whatever.
You could see it on both sides.
Yeah.
They weighed over 600 pounds, and Moshe Rabbeinu could carry them without a problem. There were a bunch of miracles. Okay. Nonetheless, despite all of that, Gadol Ayin Hara, Ve'af B'davar Sh'aneis Chalolav. They had an impact, even on something that was miraculous. Yeah? Ready for this? U'lechach, and therefore, Nishtabru Rishonos. The first ones were broken. V'shnios lo Nishtabru, and the second ones were not broken. You okay with this?
One more time.
This teaches you how great, how significant Ayin Hara is. He can even have a power over something that's miraculous. And that's why the first ones were broken. And the second ones were not broken.
But who is the Ayin Hara?
Wait, Rav.
Ayin Hara has to be someone who thinks about it.
Okay, so like, what was the Ayin Hara? How does that work? What are we talking about? What kind of Ayin Hara are we talking about?
Oh,
that's one question.
It could two questions. One question and one answer. The answer could be to that is that because Ayin Hara is that maybe some Jews wanted to basically desire to be the one to hold them. Ayin Hara is like coveting something, right? Like
usually when we think about Ayin Hara, we imagine what?
Like people be jealous.
Somebody
sees you have something, expensive, whatever. And they look at you and they're like, wow, what does he do to deserve that? How come he has that? And it causes some kind of like din and shemayim on the person.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, it could be that my command said that basically that like, that maybe some Jews, maybe Shevelevi, basically some Shevelevi could be, or some Jews that basically wanted the ability to like, to be the that person to bring it down.
Maybe.
And also my question is how does Ayin Hara cause for the second tablets not to be broken? Like I understand
another question we could ask is like, what does that mean? Why should it be that because there's no Ayin Hara the second luchos cannot be broken? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Good, another question. Anything else? to me, the biggest question, this is that I needed my son. We were fighting about this for like an hour. Yeah? That's not why the luchos were broken. You know what I'm talking about? Why were the luchos broken?
Because the eagle.
Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, saw them doing the eagle's off, and what did he do?
He smashed them.
In fact, before we get to the next point here.
Nope.
In fact, you know what the last pasuk in the entire Torah is? What's the last pasuk in the entire Torah? By the way, what's the first and last letters of the Sefer Torah? You know this? Begins with the Beis, ends with the?
No. Tough, maybe? No.
It begins with the Beis and ends with the?
Hey.
Well, you can take a leave, come in. I'll read you the pasuk. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was awesome. Yeah, it says, Lo kam navi od bi Yisrael ke Moshe. There was never another prophet like Moshe. Asher yado Hashem panim al panim. That knew God face to face. Yeah? L'chol ha'osa usva mosim. All the amazing wonders and signs and wonders. Asher shalach Hashem la'asas eretz Mitzrayim. That Hashem sent to Dibur Mitzrayim. All of the makis, wow. L'faro, l'chol ha'vedor l'arzo. Paro, all of the Mitzrayim. His whole land. Last pasuk. L'chol yara chazaka. The strong hand, and all of the great awesomeness, Asher Asa Moshe, and Moshe did Le'ene Kol Yisrael, to the eyes of all of the Jews. So what's the last letter in the Torah?
Lamed.
So what does that spell?
Beit.
Wow, but backwards it spells Lev. Because it's the Osios of Lev. The heart is Lev. The Torah is Lev of the Jewish people. Anyway, point is, what does it mean? This is like spelling out Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest ever. So his Nevuah thing we got. All of the miracles of Mitzrayim we got.
Was Moshe Rabbeinu the GOAT?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, Avram, it's not even like up for debate.
In a totally different way. Totally different way. But L'chol yada chazak l'chamor agadol. What's it talking about? What is this a great thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did le'enei kol Yisrael? You know what I'm saying? Because it already mentioned that there was never as great of a Navi as him. And then it mentions, and he did all these amazing things and signs and wonders in Egypt. Okay? And then, a third thing, and all of the Yara Chazaka and the Mora Hagadol. I don't even know what it's talking about. You know what it's talking about? Yara Chazaka, strong hand, Mora Gadol, awesome. What in the world is it talking about? You with me?
Yep.
Like it doesn't have any explanation. So if you look at Rashi, you know what he says? That it refers to the receiving the Torah, different aspects of receiving the Torah. And Le'enei Kol Yisrael, you know what that refers to? He broke the luchos. Le'ene kol Yisrael. Yeah? He broke the luchos in front of all of them. Is that a praise or that's like a shtuck?
It's a praise that he had the strength to do that.
It's clearly a praise of Moshe. This is the end of the Torah. It's praising him. So Rashi says, Pashup Shad in this pasuk, Le'ene kol Yisrael, what did he do in the eyes of the entire Jewish people? One thing. He broke the luchos in front of all the Jewish people. So that's what's a praise. Did he do something wrong?
No.
Did he do it or it just kind of broke because of Ayin Hara?
No,
the whole point is that he did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's another raya to this also, because in what it says, make new luchos like the first ones, asher shibarta. What do you mean asher shibarta? That sounds like an insult. You know what I'm saying? Can you please take out the garbage? You know? Like the garbage you didn't take out last time. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like your mom might do that to you from time to time. You know what I'm saying? You know, not like the other one. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
If Hashem says, psalucha, Shnei luchos acherim karishonim. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
So look, Look, that's what we believe whenever there's a fast day, right? So it says,
"What's the next fast day?"
V'chasavti al haluchos. I want you to write on the luchos the dvarim that were on the first ones. Yeah, you with? Yeah, just listen to what I'm saying. Hashem tells Moshe. New luchos, write them the same as the first ones that you broke. Are you with me?
Yep.
Sounds like he's trying to hurt his feelings. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When someone says that to you, they're like, can you please make new ones like the first ones that you broke? Sounds like he's trying to hurt his feelings. Yeah? Hashem's not trying to hurt Moshe's feelings. No? Maybe he is. Maybe Mita can I get Mita. I don't know. Right? So Chazal say, no. You know why he uses the word Asher Shibarta? Because Asher is like Ashrei. It's like a praise. It's like, you know, Yasher Koach Shashibarta. Asher Shibarta was not trying to put him down. The exact opposite. Hashem was saying he did the right thing. Did it break because of Ayin Hara? Are you with me?
No.
No. Okay, back up.
No, no,
back.
No, no, I'm sorry. It didn't.
Again. Rashi. Let's try to say this short and sweet. I know attention spans are limited. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to come up to the mountain to get the second luchos. I don't want to see anybody anywhere near there, not even animals. It's far, 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 far away. Good? So why? That's the question. Why? Answer in one, Chizkuni, they had sinned. The whole Jewish people had sinned and they were on like a low level now. You can't be there. Answer number two, the Ramban. This was on a much higher level. Forget sinning. Maybe they didn't. The point is, this was on a higher level. Good? Answer number three. Rashi says, because the luchos have to be given without any ayin hara. Has to be given bitsina, bitsnias. Because you know why? Because the first luchos, come on, fill in the blank. The first luchos was had such a publicity that they broke because of ayin hara.
Why would ayin hara?
That's not true. It's just not true. Moshe Rabbeinu broke them, and I brought you two psukim. Okay, that's the psukim himself, the Rashi, that it says that it was a good thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is praised for it. Obviously, he did it. Not pshat that it broke because of some kind of ayin hara. Are you with me or no?
Yes.
Does this bother you?
It does.
What's Rashi talking about? Yeah. Rabbeinu Bachaye, what's he talking about? So I sat down Friday night with this question. Yeah? And it bothered me to no end. What does it mean? You have any ideas? Does it bother you or no?
It bothers me a little bit.
Only a little?
I only lose a little bit of sleep.
No, it's like...
It's just not true. I don't know. I don't even know what Rashi is talking about. You with me?
No.
Like, I don't know where to start. It's just not true. There's no medrash anywhere that says the luchos broke because of some kind of ayin hara. The luchos broke. It says it in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Where's the pasuk? You want to see it? You don't believe me?
Yeah.
Wait. Maybe we should read it. Maybe we should read it. It says, "Vayihi kasher karav el hamachaneh." Moshe Rabbeinu got close to the camp. You know what it is? You don't believe me? It's in Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Yud Tes. That's 32:19. Yeah. "Vayihi kasher karav el hamachaneh." Moshe Rabbeinu got close to the camp, and he saw the eagle. And the dancing, Vayichar af Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember how Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan translated this?
Fear.
Yichar af means charon af is anger, right? Displayed anger. Very good. Remember? And Moshe Rabbeinu displayed anger. Vayashleich miyadav. And he sent from his hands es haluchos. He threw down the luchos. Vayishaber osam. And he smashed them. Tachasahar. At the foot of the mat. Did it break because of ayin hara?
No.
Pasuk says he broke them. Are we together? Mm-hmm. I'm upset. I'm distressed. Because I don't know.
It could have been just like the messenger.
For what?
For the ayin hara.
But it says he broke them. Where does it say ayin hara? Where is ayin hara even coming from? What?
So who came up with that in the first place?
Rashi
says it. And Rabbeinu Bachaye writes that that's why they broke.
Maybe Rashi was just lying. Maybe he's trying to get us off her track. You know?
Wait, that's your final answer?
He does that sometimes.
So yeah, but what? The thing is about protecting us from the ayin hara.
Good.
But when a person has... When a person who looks at something you shouldn't have starts to covet. He starts with, you know, somebody sees somebody's wife. And
right, we spoke about Einhorn and jealousy.
They're not dressed Snua, then he starts having feelings for her.
Okay.
And he wants to take her from the husband. So because of that creates Einhorn. So because she's not Snua. So the issue is that breaking the luchos, it's just like, it's mamish, it's a nullification, it's a divorce.
But that's not why they were broken, right? Rabbeinu Bachaye writes they broke because of ayin hara. It's not true. Just not true.
No, it is true.
How's it true?
It is true.
But where's the ayin hara coming from exactly?
And we have to answer that too.
Because if we're trying to say because you could feel like you're saying that Moshe is just angry and did it out of spite or like anger. You don't. Maybe that could be the. I don't know. If that's the ayin hara. Like, I mean, because ayin hara is like coveting and jealousy. But like, Because Moshe's doing the opposite. He's not coveting anything. He's not doing being jealous.
Right. It sounds like he would have been in the direction of Moshe. And that's what someone was trying to say. Moshe Levi. You were trying to say that?
Yeah.
Moshe
Levi. That's that. Maybe that's someone.
Okay. So you ready? Don't. Can I not lose you? Can I not lose you? Can you stay with me?
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to answer two questions. Stay with me. I'll show you something interesting. I think this is a massive chiddush. I think it might even be true. Yeah?
Mm.
Listen to this. Okay. So first question we want to know is, what's the Ayin Hara? What's the Ayin Hara by the Luchos? That's question number one. So I'm going to give you one approach. I'm going to reject it. And I'm going to tell you what I think is the truth.
Mm.
What I'm going to reject is the following. Some want to say that there's some kind of jealousy. Maybe even our own. Maybe. There's some sort of jealousy. Moshe Rabbeinu, I find it hard to believe, right? He's the one that saw. He merited the Choshen. Remember? The Urim Bitumim? Because he was so happy for Moshe. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
We spoke about this? Yeah. Anyway, but some want to say that. So I want to point something out to you. Do you know that, I think in every Gemara, there's this little tefillah that they have in the beginning. Yeah. They print like all the Gemaras. Now, you know what I'm talking about? In the Gemara, this is it's a tefillah for Rabbi Nachuni ben Akane. Yeah? And it says, Yihiratzon Hashem, Shibir will, Shelo Yera Davar Takala Al Yadi. That I shouldn't like make any mistakes in my learning, in my Torah, in my Halacha, and my, yeah, I shouldn't make any mistakes, yeah? And then it says, V'lo kashel b'davar halacha, I shouldn't make a mess up in a psak, in a halacha, v'yismechu b'chaveirai, and my friends should be happy with me. Now, there are two ways to read this. You want to try to figure out the two ways? It says, I shouldn't mess up, and my friends should be happy with me. Are those two things or one thing?
So, I mean, I think
can you explain it both ways?
I think it's two things.
Well, if it's two things, it's just two separate things. One, I hope I don't mess up. Two, my friends won't be mad at me. But
so you want them to be happy with you, right?
Thing, right.
If it's one thing?
Right. One thing is that if I mess up, my friends won't be happy with me.
They won't be?
Well, if it's one thing, you're putting the two ideas together.
Meaning, I shouldn't mess up and my friends be happy with me.
Oh, time out. It's other way around. It's if I mess up, it may be.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I think
I
you're doing great. You're much on track.
No, no, no. If I do, then they should not be mad.
Be mad.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. You know, I think if I don't mess up, my friends will be happy. So if I do mess up, my friends won't be happy. So I can't mess up in order to make my friends happy.
Okay, so one way to look at it is it's basically two things that I don't want to mess up, and I want my friends to be happy with me. That's not what Rashi says in the Gemara. Rashi says in the Gemara something that's crazy. You know, so there you are. You're trying to get into medical school, and there's a lot of competition in the classroom. Yeah, so the teacher's like calling on people, or maybe there's a test. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you know you're maybe number two in the class, and the other guy's number one in the class, right? And he says something really dumb. He messes up. He gets a bad grade on the test, right? How do you feel about that? Now you're up to number one. How do you feel about that? You're doing. You're such a tzaddik. You know, but like, there's a certain.
I feel bad.
There's a certain part of a person that's happy when somebody messes up, because it makes us look better, or at least not stupid. You with me?
Yeah.
Rashi says that's the pshat of its fila. That I don't want to mess up, because chas v'shalom, if I mess up, you know what could happen? That my friends will be happy that I messed up.
Hmm.
That crazy? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts? Rav Khan, my Rebbe, your grand Rebbe, yeah? He says that he thinks this is why no one says this tefillah.
Hmm.
He says, Rav Soloveitchik never said this tefillah. None of his Rebbe, I guess that includes Rav Moshe, no one ever said this tefillah. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Blachman said that his Rebbe never said this tefillah. I assume that includes even Rav Huttner. Like, nobody ever says this tefillah. So Rav Khan's like, how come nobody says it? Nowadays, a lot of people say it. A lot of people say it. Yeah? So Rav Khan says, you know what I think because when you say this, it's like upsetting.
Hmm.
It's like upsetting to think that that's a midah that could be going around the base midrash. Like, you're going to be happy when I make a mistake, when I mess up. We're so is that what we mean? Aaron Akain? Aaron Akain is going to have like a jealousy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and maybe something will happen on him. Maybe I'll be able to step in there.
Hmm.
The same Aaron Akain. I was so happy to see him, to be the Navi, to take me to Israel. How are you talking, right? Come on. I can't say that upset, right?
Hmm.
Ayin Hara from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Aaron. No one's allowed to be in the mountain. The Meshech Chachma, you know what he says? He says, V'ish lo yada imach. Who's the Ish? No, we don't translate it as a person. We translate it as no man, right?
Yeah.
He says, no. You know who Ish is? Take a guess.
Moshe.
Aaron. Ish lo yada imach. Aaron shouldn't go. He says, Ish means Aaron. Crazy, no? It's a Meshech Chachma.
Wait, is it saying that Aaron, is this thing Aaron, did I have Ayin Hara?
I don't know, that's what I'm asking. There's one pshat that you could suggest, which Ezra is going to say, no way, no how, it's Aaron Akoyan. But someone else, not Ezra, is going to, maybe like Harpaz, he's going to suggest that, like, no, maybe Aaron will be jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu and create an Einar. So no, he can't be there.
But the problem is that
come on, really?
That opinion doesn't make sense.
I'm not willing to accept that.
The whole point of Aaron, like, receiving Cohen Gadol status is that, in a sense, being Cohen is because he was happy for Moshe.
That's right. And everyone else. And Klal Yisrael and makes shalom with everyone, yeah. Right? Really, Aaron going, really? So I would like to suggest to you that that's wrong. Yeah? That's not the pshat in Ayin Hara. But you're going to say to me, but Rabbi, that's what Ayin Hara is, right? Jealousy, right? That's what Ayin Hara is, right? Are you ready? You ready? You ready?
Yep.
No. I mean, yes. Yes, but no. Is that okay? Yes, but no?
No.
Yes, but no. How do I know? How do I know the but no? If this is Rashi. Rashi, remember? Go back to the beginning of the parasha. How do you count Jews again?
Half course.
The half shekel, yes? Why?
Because you can't count them directly.
Why not? Ooh. Why not? So the second Rashi in the parasha, so that there's not a plague.
This is an ayin hara to count.
Shehaminyan sholeit bo ayin hara. Minyan, what's minyan?
People.
Counting people. When you count people, it creates ayin hara. What kind of ayin hara is that? You hear what I'm asking?
Yeah.
What kind of ayin hara is that? That's not a jealousy ayin hara. You hear my question or no?
Yeah.
What kind of ayin hara is a result of counting something? Well, it's not ayin hara, right? We never call it ayin hara.
That makes sense.
Now, Rabbeinu Bachaye, the same Rabbeinu Bachaye, has an introduction to every single parsha in the Torah. He was like, I guess, I don't know, he was like a big rabbi. He used to give like drushes. I guess he used to give these as drushes, as like an introduction to the parsha. So he gave this whole beautiful idea, and he uses that idea to introduce the first pasuk, the first idea in the parsha.
Oh, I heard that it's very from cool. One place that counting is not hard because it's something to do with like shadim or something like that.
This I don't know. That's not what he says. But what he says is, ready for this?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard from the Gemara and Brachos, let's say, have you ever heard that, let's say, you just harvested. What did you harvest?
Potatoes.
What? What? What's he saying?
Aniloidea.
You just harvested your grain. Whatever, you know, you harvested, yeah? And you're piling all into your silos. And you want to daven to Hashem that there should be like a great crop this year, you know? So Gemara says, if you daven to Hashem before you count what's there, then you know what? You might have a bumper crop. You might have a lot. You might have a lot. But if you count it first, you weigh it, you...
Well, because also God doesn't do open miracles. It's God does hidden miracles, so it's not gonna
work if you don't. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Bachaye says. It's exactly what he says. Bracha only happens bitsina. Bracha only happens bitsina. If you want something to lend itself to multiplicity, to bracha, to nes nister, then it has to be nister. It has to be a way where Hashem can do it without making an open miracle. So, how? And he says that's why, that's his lead into the parasha. That's why we don't count Klal Yisrael. We want them to have multiplicity. We want them to have good parnasa. You know, we can't. No, again, this is a little bit of an abstraction. What does he mean exactly? What is the ayin hara? Can you spell it out to me? What does he mean exactly? According to this, what's this type of ayin hara? The phone box is over
hidden,
there.
Hidden ayin hara.
What's this type of ayin hara? This is very different. We're used to thinking, right? What is this type of ayin hara? How do you can you give it a definition or no? This type of ayin hara means taking something that if you keep it hidden, it could like expand. It could have like, it could be miraculously more. Yeah? But if you count it, so now it has ayin hara.
Yeah, the Jewish people.
What does it mean? No, what's that ayin hara? How do you define that ayin hara? It's not jealousy. What's that type of ayin hara? What is this?
Publicizing mitzvot?
No, it's like wanting more. I don't know. It's the...
But counting Klal Yisrael, what did you do? You're getting out like a negative emotion.
It's just selfishness.
You want money.
I think it's something much more. I'm calling this abstract. Abstract is like, I don't know how to define abstract. You know what I mean by that? It's more abstract.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like almost philosophical. It means that if you take something and you count it, then that's how many there are. But if you didn't count it yet,
the potential.
It's also here. Like disrespectful to God because it's like, I want you to show me that you could do this, not that you could do it behind
if you daven afterwards, after you count it. But what I'm saying is, the ayin hara here means, ready for this? Ayin hara here means it was given to the eye. The eye says there are 10. The eye says there are 20. I have defined it. I have limited it. I've given it a number in the physical world. Yes?
Yep.
That's ayin hara. The essential ayin hara... is not like a jealousy, a din and shema. Essential ayin hara is giving it limitation in the physical world.
Is that why, like, going on a wheelchair when you're not hurt is an INR? Because you're basically putting it in this world that you're in a wheelchair, right?
Maybe. Maybe. So. Yeah?
Like,
so
like
that's...
The box with the cat in it. You don't know, like, the cat is in the box.
Hashem has room. Hashem has room to do what he wants to do, what he needs to do. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You ready? Ready with me? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring it together now. So according to what I'm saying, I'm suggesting to you that the reason why the second luchos, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Bachai, had to be given without publicity was to avoid what?
What kind of cat is it?
Ayin hara. What type of ayin hara? Jealousy ayin hara?
No.
The inhara of limitation of this world. Wait, what do you mean? And I'm going to answer my second question, yeah? Now, what does it mean that the luchos were broken because of inhara? You ready? You ready? What does it mean the luchos were broken because of inhara? They weren't broken because of inhara. You ready? They were able to be broken because of Ayanhar.
Because that was like the limits of the world at the point.
It entered into the physical world with limitation, and it's a physical luchos now. Those can be broken. Why were they broken? Well, success. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed them. What allowed them to be broken? That they were given to Ayanhar. The second luchos cannot be given to Ayanhara. Because why? Because Hashem doesn't want them ever to be broken.
Is that why also Avodah Zarah is so bad? Because you're basically trying to make like a god kind of like limited in this world, or like you're kind
definitely
of
an important aspect of it, maybe even the essential component of it, maybe. Yeah, but you hear what I'm saying? So, yes. The Luke, did anyone ever see the second Luchos?
I don't think so.
Not ever think about that. No, the second Luchos were given to Moshe, he put them into some kind of wooden aron until the aron was ready, and then he put them into the aron, and they stayed there for the rest of history. I don't think anyone ever saw them.
What? Well, no. Now the
do you think they were? So we don't know if they're the same.
It was hidden underground. No, I don't think a church even had.
Yeah, it was hidden. It was hidden before
the
destruction.
So the second luchos were pure tznius. They were pure tznius. They were not given to Ayin Hara. Okay, so let's bring this full circle. Let's bring this full circle, right?
It's honestly a crazy thing about that. Judaism is like the only religion that doesn't have like a physical thing that we
it's very important.
Like pray to
it's very important
in this
emotions,
world,
right?
Because we don't limit.
That's
all
the question. Even
Muslims
No, they have like the Mecca. They like worship. I don't know.
Is the Mecca just like?
I think it's a place. There's
a place. We establish a place.
Anyway, before we get totally distracted, so let's just put this all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
It started like this. Why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to go up to Har Sinai alone? No people. Not even animals grazing anywhere near the mountain. Alone. Everyone has to be away. So the Chizkuni writes, they sinned. The Ramban says because this is going to be a much higher level. Rashi says because it has to be with tznius, because as Rabbeinu Bachai spells out, because we don't want there to be ayin hara, because ayin hara destroyed the first luchos. Hmm. So he said, first of all, what type of ayin hara are we talking about? Second of all, it's not true. It's not why the luchos were broken. So I'm suggesting, so the first answer we said was maybe the ayin hara is jealousy, like the tefillah of Rav Chaim Ben Hakaneh, that you know they're even talmidei chachamim can be jealous of each other and be happy when they mess up. Terrible. Maybe that's why we don't even say it. Says Rakan. Okay, but come on, Aaron Cohen. Hard to imagine. So I want to say no. The Ayin Hara is like in the beginning of the Parasha. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rabbi Machai's introduction to the Parasha. That Ayin Hara means giving something physical limitations. The eye has grasped it. You've limited it. That's essential Ayin Hara. That's what it means by the luchos. If they're there to see Moshe Rabbeinu, to see them, if the eye is able to grasp the luchos become physical, it becomes shayich, controlled by Ayin Hara. And that's what enabled the first luchos to be broken. They were part of this physical world. But if no eye ever sees it, then the eye doesn't have control over it, and the luchos don't have any Ayin Hara. That's tznius. That's the shmira binyamin of tznius. Is that nothing can happen to it. It's shamur. Nobody sees it. It can be guarded. Nothing can never... The second luchos could never be broken.
Maybe that's why Moshe hitting the rock was so bad, because he was basically trying to get it like physical in this world, like hitting it instead of just letting Hashem give it to him through the rock.
I guess that's related. I guess it's similar. That's similar. So just to finish this up, like what do you think that's a what's that all about? Like, why is it so important that the first ones were able to be broken, the second ones were unable to be broken? So I don't know about this. This is just like a thought. You know, it could be, you know, the luchos really represent our relationship with Hashem. Yeah, that, I mean, that's the closest connection. You know, I don't want to say such a thing. You know, Michelangelo, you know, a little touch. You know, like, like the nexus, the connecting point between us and Hashem is those luchos. It's like a gift from Hashem, mamish, you know? So those luchos can't be broken. Our relationship cannot be broken. Our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam has to be beyond everything in this world. So the luchos that represent that relationship, that's my suggestion anyway. So those have to be something that are not, shayach. That was what I came up with Friday night with my son Malkiel. That's what I think is the pshat. The takeaway on a practical level, it's a very, you know, interesting abstract idea. The takeaway on a physical level is obviously this message about our relationship with Hashem. But the other takeaway is that we should realize about ourselves that if you want to guard something, if you want to protect something, you have to keep it private. And the things that we keep private have a special segula of shmira. And that's a new aspect of tznias. Not only the jealousy and everything else, which of course is true, and people looking at something and causing judgment in Shemayim or whatever.
Does that apply to everything? Because let's just say, like, some things, like, if you want to accomplish a certain goal, maybe it's, like, easier to accomplish it by, like, talking it over with somebody.
Right, no, that's different. So. That's different. But let's say that you have a mitzvah you did, you know, you don't need to tell everybody about it. You know, you have a chash of a car, you know, you have a chash of a clothes, you have, like things, you know. If you want to protect it, your protecting comes when things are bitsneas. You know, our relationships. Our relationship with our wives, you know. It's private. It's not for, you know, PDAs. It's not Jewish. Not a Jewish thing. Yeah, public displays of affection. It's not a Jewish thing. Things belong bitsneas. No one should know. It doesn't know nobody else's business, you know. So those are some of the takeaways about the animation guys.